Blog Talk Radio.
Shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Showtime Radio Time. I am Sweet Rascally Rabbits, broadcasting to you live in your sweet, beautiful ears, no matter how ugly you think they are. I feel happy, I feel clean, I feel so ecstatic about tonight. I am going to be watching Ghostbusters with my mom. I actually do not know how I'm going to react to the film, and I don't know how mom is going to react to the film. I only hope that it's not going to appear sexism. Not sexist. Well, yeah. Well, sexism and sexist is basically the same thing. Okay. But again, welcome to the show, everyone. Today, we are finishing a book. If you are just now tuning in, I feel sorry for you. Because I've been doing audiobooks, on my radio show for the past, 2 years I've been doing this show. So I do readings on Fridays, and Mondays I just talk about whatever, either about holidays or just random topics, and I also play music that people can dance to. That way they can exercise while they're at work or while they're at home or while they're just doing chores or whatnot or errands. It doesn't matter because I want you guys to dance. I want you guys to work out that sweat. So anyways, today, this past month and a half, this past month and a half or 2 months, I honestly don't know. I need to do the calculations. I've been reading a book called The Royal Conspiracy. This is a book that I've written. In fact, almost all the books that I've read on this show are written by me, except for maybe one or two books. I believe I did one of the Nancy Drew books, and I think I might have done The Westing Game on the show, too. I can't quite remember. I do know I did The Westing Game on my main YouTube channel, which I think is really cool. You can check that out. I did that at the time I did that book in honor of Ellen Raskin because she, according to the dates I started reading it, she had died 29 years prior, and I thought I might as well do a book reading in her honor. And I had a lot of fun reading it. I made sure to stop on cliffhangers, and I made sure to acted out as a mystery for the viewers rather than trying to figure it out myself, because I've read the book so many times. I already know who did it. I already know the clues, except for it's really weird because, like, when you reread something or rewatch a movie or a show, you're like, oh, okay, I just now noticed that. Okay, cool. This makes a whole lot more sense. Or, wait, that's even more confusing. So with the book, like, it made me remember a couple more things, and I learned a couple more things about the book that I had forgotten, or either that or I just didn't notice before, which is weird. Oh, man. Anyways, the book I am reading to you today is called The Royal Conspiracy, and today is the last reading of it. In all honesty, I was nervous of what today would be, because I could have finished off the whole book last Friday in, like, maybe a 45-minute segment. But I decided not to do that. I didn't want to rush myself, especially with the movie that I was going to see that night, which was Zootopia. And, oh, my gosh, I super loved that movie. I should have known that that little weasel-looking animal, which is called a stout, not weasel, his character name is Duke Wesselton. And I should have known from the start. I should have known from the start, because the guy who voiced Duke Wesselton is Alan Tudyk. And if you're not familiar with Alan Tudyk, then you don't exist to me. I'm kidding. just Alan Tudyk is such a great actor. I'm more familiar with him from Firefly, one of my all-time favorite shows, even though it only lasted one season. Damn you, Rupert Murdoch. Sorry for the cursing. Anyways, Alan Tudyk also did a voice in the movie Frozen. And guess what his character's name was in Frozen? Duke of Wesselton. Duke of Wesselton. And everyone kept pronouncing it Weaselton. Weaselton. And so, okay, no, I messed up his character for Zootopia. His name in Zootopia is Duke Weaselton. And I can't remember if it was the main character. I forgot her name. I think it was Judy. The main character called him Duke Wesselton. And he's like, no, it's Duke Weaselton. Man, I love Alan Tudyk. Okay, anyways, I'm sorry. I keep going on weird tangents off the previous thing I said. Okay, I guess I'm doing that because I actually do have some time before I can read the book to you guys, I should say. All right, so the book is called The Royal Conspiracy. I actually wrote this book with inspiration from, like, The Prince and the Pauper. I haven't read the book personally, but I've seen many different films, film versions, film renditions, or whatever they're called. I've seen so many Prince and the Pauper films, especially with female actresses, that I thought something should be different about it. There should be a situation that no one hasn't been familiar with. And I came up with this book. It's about two smart women. One is adopted into a thieves tribe, or at least she was when she was younger, and she had to learn to survive. The other one is a princess. She had a fashion. Her father died when she was really young, and so as she grew up, she ended up having the fashion designer for her family to be her father figure. And though these two women led like separate lives in different worlds, the two hold so much in common. And they really would have grown their lives apart, but fate decreed they wouldn't. I super love the description I made. And what I just talked about sounds a lot more cooler than the description I changed for this segment series. Oh, good grief. I need to listen to this audio and use it for the description. That was brilliant. That was bloody brilliant. All right, so let me see if I've talked too much, because I actually did the calculations of this session. So I have about, I think, 1 or 2 minutes left. Trying to remember. 30 minus 12. What's that? That's 28? No. 20. Gosh dang it. Can't think. 18. That's 18. Yeah, I still have a few minutes left. I'm sorry. I should not have done that. It's rude and... That reminds me. I would make a few remarks about the interview that happened on Monday, but... I don't want to seem rude, but at the same time, I really think I should be talking to this with someone. Maybe not on the show, but I will with someone somewhere. Maybe I can talk to my mom about it. And I'll definitely be talking to my best friend about it, because I'm going to be seeing her tomorrow. We're both going to be playing a game called Beyond Two Souls. I am super psyched. All right, no, stop. Bad Allison. I need to be talking about the book. All right, so what happened in the previous reading was that, I'm forgetting their names. I should not be forgetting their names. Tanaski, the heiress to the thieves tribe, her adopted father got shot with an arrow. And it's crazy because the archer who shot it should have recognized him, but for some reason he didn't. And it was because the queen, Queen Veronica, she had placed a search order on any illegal foreign objects, items that were brought in, especially by Prince Paolo from the Koro tribe. And when her father gets shot by that arrow, he's trying to tell her to stop those searches because someone had somehow told the guards that there is an identical person to the princess, and they're searching for them too, which is crazy. And he kept calling the queen his princess, and she kept saying, "I'm not your princess, I'm your queen." He's like, "No, not yet." And he falls into, and he goes unconscious. Moira, or her nickname would be Mosey, she tells her mom that she knows where Tanaski is, and she's going to go get her. And the queen takes him to her bedroom in the castle, which is awesome, but a little awkward for her, you know, because she's never had anyone else other than her husband and her daughter in there. And, of course, the doctor, of course, who has been trying to cure her, which is also Tanaski's father. But the queen gets her family doctor in the room to get him to get better quickly, especially after Tanaski faints from some sort of weird sickness, and they don't know what it is. And that's actually where we start. I think I need to start reading. Yes, I do need to start reading. So Moira realizes she needs to tell her mom about this, and her mom is like, "No, stop. I already know. I have since Tuesday." And that's actually where I'm going to go ahead and start reading. "When I heard someone tried to get in the royal mines," she started. Her daughter gulped. "I had a feeling something was off. Once I conversed with you, or who I thought was you, I knew. I wanted her to tell me on her time, not yours." "What?" Mosey said slowly with big eyes. "There is more than one way to become friends, my Moira." She turned toward Tanaski. "What do you think happened?" Mosey looked at her friend. "I could be wrong, and I hope I am." She hesitated. "I think Paolo gave her something without her knowledge." "What do you suppose?" She then saw Mosey raise her brows with a wince. Veronica gasped. "Poison!" Her daughter shrugged. "That's it. Moira, dear, find someone to fetch him. I am waking Tita. He must know how to save her." Mosey hurried off. Veronica carefully moved Tanaski next to her father. She then sat next to Tita's side. "Tita, my love, wake up." She waited for a response. The queen shook her head before moving his arm repeatedly. "Darling, wake up." "Huh?" he mumbled. Tita groaned. He stirred as his person twisted and turned. He shook his head slowly. The keef was still weak and needed much rest. The queen knew he couldn't. "Please awaken. We need you." His eyes still closed. He narrowed his brows. "Tita." He took his time to open his eyes. What? "Where am I?" he whispered, looking about. He slowly sat up but fell back down. Tita groaned once more. "My shoulder hurts." The queen searched for a cloth in his bag. She put a small part of it in the cup of water she had. She then lightly dabbed it on his lips and near his shoulder. He winced and grunted. "Oh, goodness, I remember now."
"You need to regain your strength. Tanaski needs you."
"Tani, is she..." He breathed heavily.
"She is not well. Moira and I believe she has been poisoned."
"What?" he cried. He bolted up, and in the process, pain shot right through his shoulder. He grunted and groaned. How? He hissed in pain.
I don't know. I have a strong suspicion Paolo is involved. I don't know if it is poison.
She sighed in frustration. I do not like being uncertain of things. Teacher chuckled. Neither do I, my princess. Where is she? Veronica's eyes darted to his left. He followed her gaze. His eyes widened. No! Tanaski! Teacher looked back at the queen. Were there symptoms?
Yes, but they acted quickly. She had only seen Paolo before I ordered the guards to find his possessions.
What symptoms did she have?
She coughed, sweat poured, she coughed blood, and then she fainted.
She sighed worriedly.
What could she have?
She coughed blood, he repeated with wide eyes. She nodded. I'm afraid I don't know what to do. I have not heard of any poison with symptoms like those.
Then it must be something else.
They sighed. Teacher slowly widened his eyes as he stared at Veronica. He seemed to be surprised and scared. She knew what he was thinking.
Yes, I know, dear, but now is not the time to discuss of that. Your daughter is in need of medical care.
She lifted his bag and placed it on her bed, unintentionally being closer to him than before. Of course, she needs me, he whispered, giving the queen a worried face. She smiled faintly. Veronica, do you need me? Her eyes widened. She searched his soulful eyes. She lightly shook her head with a small smile and soft eyes. Her reaction said everything he wanted, and she didn't have the confidence to say. He closed in about an inch, hesitating. At that sudden moment, Tanaski coughed in her dreamless sleep. Drops of blood landed on her lips. Teacher took a deep breath before looking at her. He sighed. He slipped his bag closer to his daughter.
Tita, save her.
I intend to do so. He pulled it open and took out so many bottles of herbs it surprised the queen. He even pulled out gloves to put on. The chief knew no matter what sickness it was, he had to be careful. He saw the blood on her lips, which worried him. Teacher took the cloth from Veronica and lightly rubbed it off. He smelt the blood. His brows narrowed.
What is it?
I think she's bleeding from the stomach.
How? What kind of toxin would cause that?
I don't know, he said, shaking his head. But if she is bleeding from the stomach, there's nothing I can do. I vaguely remember an herbal tonic to make his patient throw up. The list escapes me, though. He placed the back of his hand on his forehead and sighed heavily. I can't lose her. I just can't. They heard a knock. Heim calls, she called.
Princess Moira and Paolo of Coro.
Veronica rushed to open the door. Mosey was shocked to see her still angry. The queen wasn't angry, though. She felt scared. She grabbed the prince by the ear and pulled him in, which she once did with her daughter. He cried out.
Mother, stop it!
She cried after quickly closing the door. She did let go once she knew Prince Paolo could see Tanaski. If you thought you were trying to end the royal line, you chose the wrong daughter. I was right, he whispered before licking his lips. As was I, Queen Veronica said sternly. He and everyone conscious stared at her in confusion. You wanted to poison my Moira, correct? Paolo gulped. Guess again, young man. You poisoned Tita McAllister's daughter instead. When he moved closer and looked at Tanaski, his eyes widened in fear. Good goddess, I didn't. he whispered hoarsely. His gaze moved to Teeter. I'm sorry, Your Highness. I didn't know. Teeter kept a strong and stern look. Oh, sorry, expression. Frick. He wanted to tell him the truth, but he knew he shouldn't. After what happened that day, he couldn't trust Paolo. He just couldn't trust Paolo. Even after she wakes, I will never forgive you, nor trust you, he hissed. I will see to it no tribe ever allies with you. The tension between them built up as moments passed. She's not poisoned, Paolo confessed quietly. It only appears that way. Mosey came up to him so she could swat his head, but her mother stopped her. The prince took that glass of water, emptied it in a nearby plant, and partly filled the glass by combining different herbal medicines. I thought you only used technology. Paolo eyed him. I grew up on herbs. It's my nieces and nephews that helping me with the technology. When he finished, only a small portion of the glass was filled. Get the cloth ready below her mouth. You and she are not going to enjoy this. He walked to the other side of the bed and opened Tanesi's mouth. He carefully poured the glass contents. They waited. Oh. As his concoction settled in her stomach, they waited patiently. Her breathing grew heavy. She wheezed a few times before her stomach lurched. She gasped as she sat up, opening her eyes in shock. Blood and orange liquid were upchucked the next second. Thankfully, it didn't seem as much Teeter thought it would be. Paolo narrowed his brows. She should have puked just the blood. While Teeter hugged his daughter, the prince took the cloth from him to observe her contents. He knew what it was right away, and possibly where it came from.
I'm so glad you are okay. Miss Tanofsky, did you have the dossier?
Paolo asked. Sorry, Paolo is supposed to have an Hispanic accent. I can't get it for some reason. She turned her head toward him, her eyes widened with anger. Tanofsky pulled away from the hug and punched him in the face. Everyone save him stared at her in surprise. He cried in pain.
Yeah, I deserve that, he muttered.
I can't believe you did that.
He rubbed his nose as he sniffed. Seeing as that was her third punch in that lifetime, she still couldn't do it quite right. The prince didn't bleed. He decided to keep his thoughts to himself, considering her life didn't cease. The illusion illness only had a few symptoms, but combine it with something like food poisoning, and it could have made her dreadfully ill. He was glad to be summoned so sudden. A few hours later, a few things had been settled. Prince Paolo and his tribe were told to move out of the rundown areas they lived to where the royal family could keep an eye on them. The Queen Veronica wanted to kick them out, but Teeter reminded her how dangerous Paolo could be. Keith Teeter's tribe had done something similar, only closer to the palace. All the guards and soldiers were told to keep whatever secret they learned of Princess Moira and Tanofsky. The two royal friends stayed side by side. They found it awkward to see their parents talking informal with each other.
Come on, Teeter. Why must you tease?
You will have to wait. I must take Tanofsky to our new location. We need to figure out where to put everything.
He smiled at her. She smiled back with soft eyes.
Do return soon.
He nodded. I always will, Veronica.
Teeter lifted her hand to kiss her fingers.
Until we meet again, my love.
Still holding her hand, he turned to walk. She giggled when she didn't let go. He glanced at her. He saw that loving look in her eyes. The Keef groaned as he gave the same look.
We shall, my princess,
he whispered. His fingers slipped from her grip. Tineski eyed her friend before she and her father left. Sorry, before she and her father left, Tineski eyed her friend. Good grief. I thought I edited this before.
Mother, are you well?
Mosey asked, observing her. It took a while before her star-crossed mother answered.
I have not felt this way in years, my Moira.
As she shivered, she sighed.
I have not since your father.
Mosey stared at her with shock and then surprise. Though she was glad for her, she had hoped her mother wouldn't forget her father.
Do you sincerely mean that?
She kept an eye on her. Veronica turned to give her an honest expression. You and I, we know we can never forget, she said, figuring what Mosey meant. She toyed with a bit of her daughter's hair, smiling.
I love your father very much. There is still room for more.
She paused to observe Mosey.
I see that look, my Moira.
What look? She said softly.
You like them, don't you? I can always visit them, Mother. Besides, we have duties. The speech is a week away, and I don't have it memorized.
She rolled her eyes.
I'm actually going to change a few things about it. If it's possible for you.
Veronica chuckled and sighed. Send me the final copy, and I will see to it. She raised her brows.
You still have to marry my daughter. We need to put our people first. We cannot let the mines run dry. I know. I think I may have solved that. If we go to the mines, there should be more.
Indeed, Princess Moira was correct. She and Queen Veronica found many lines of platinum. Within days, the threats of the illegal importers died down, as well as sentence for them. It no longer became 5 years in jail. The speech happened to be about it, including the bad parts of Anur. Eventually, the queen and the keef got married. Princess Moira didn't need to marry, as Tineski fell in love with Prince Paolo. The princess and the heiress lived together as sisters and loved every minute of it. The end. Oh my gosh, that was incredible. Oh, and it looks like I actually got to go. Perfect timing here. All right, so I hope you all have a good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Sweet Rascally Rabbit, saying goodbye with Molly Smiles by Jesse Beautiful Spencer. Bye, everyone.
Waves.